Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Now a new customer sign up using promo code DNVR. All you got to do is place a $5 bet on the NFL this weekend, and when that wins for you, you get $200 in free bets using code DNVR and only with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. I am Patrick Lyons.
And I am Susie Hunter. Patrick, interesting color choice today.
It's Niners colors, which you pointed out. I wasn't thinking about that very much so. I do look like I could be like the backup kicker, though. You know what I'm saying?
You kind of do. Yeah, the hat, the... We're in a fight now.
When I go to the gym, because I'm, again, I'm not a sizable guy, maybe even a short king potentially. It's being debated online. But
no, you're not a short king.
But that's the physique I'm going for. I'm like, Pro Bowl punter. Let's go. I can get that Pro Bowl punter physique. That's always what I'm aiming for. That's probably the best I can get at this point. Here at
the best you can do.
I think so. We're hoping Todd can do the best he can this year. Man, we got 24 hours until that happens. We've got our fun fact of the day, our conversation about PEDs and their place in the Hall of Fame. We've got some news, Chris Bryant, and of course, we will get to today, probably, artifact or artifiction.
Yeah,
we're going to Cooperstown this summer.
We, you know, intended to do this on Thursday, but we had so much to talk about on this Rockies off-season podcast that we didn't have time to get to it.
That's
but
right.
It's, you know what, it's evergreen.
Yeah, we discussed how Todd, fifth place in the 2000 MVP voting in the National League, won the Player of the Year award for the Sporting News, which, again, that's the real award.
The real award, of course, as we all know.
That's the most important one. But those are big things. Even if it's just one MVP, that does a lot of heavy lifting for a player and their candidacy. Another award that Todd Helton could have won, maybe should have won, and was even closer than the MVP, was the 1999 Rookie of the Year award. He was second.
Second place, yeah.
Year. Yeah, just got beat out by Kerry Wood there, who had a fantastic year as a starting pitcher. His career did not pan out the way Todd Helton's did.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I would love to see, Patrick, I don't know if you have the numbers on this, but how often do rookies of the year go on to have great careers versus maybe they peaked the first year?
Oh, that's interesting. That would be interesting to look at. I would think...
I was hoping you already had the spreadsheet.
Yeah. You give me homework. Fine. That's great. I mean, you're dressed like a school teacher today. So you know what? It's fitting that you would give me homework. So I'm all in. Let's go.
When I put this on, like, I looked at my mirror before I walked out the door and I was like, I feel like I'm serving Britney Spears' Hit Me Baby One More Time, but in Eagles colors.
Oh, there you go. Oh, that's true.
That's why I wore this.
Didn't put two and two together there with the green. Wow. All right. It's an NFC matchup here, clothing wise.
I said before we went on air, I was like, Patrick, I'm going to effing fight you for wearing these colors today.
That's a good question about the Rookie of the Year. I would think, I almost want to break it down into thirds, like a third of them busts. One third had a really solid career. And then another third had the Hall of Very Good to Hall of Fame. But I would think actually there's only been a few guys who were the Rookie of the Year and just stunk almost after. Like Chris Coughlin's one of those guys who won it and was almost immediately just kind of like a wash. You also have a lot of players who were Japanese. So they came over at like 29, 30 years old. Kaz Sasaki, I think, won it in the American League as the closer for the Mariners and just had a really short career. So more times than not, I think you have at least somewhat of a decent career. But that's something worth studying.
I would love to see what you come up with, Patrick.
Helton led all rookies that year in just about every category: batting average, home runs, RBI. He had 97 as a rookie.
Jeez.
Multi-hit games, total bases, slugging percentage, and led all NL rookies in runs, hits, and on base percentage. And so he hit 25 home runs that year. Only three players since 1972, so a little bit after the expansion era during the 60s, only three players had ever hit more home runs in the National League than Todd Helton's 25.
Wow.
Mike Piazza, Dave Justice, and Darryl Strawberry.
Wow.
And then Todd Helton. And that Pete Alonso hit like double that.
What a snub.
Yeah, a little bit. So that would have been really helpful. You know, you get the Rookie of the Year. That maybe, you know, boosts your resume even during your playing time, and potentially you get more votes on MVP, things of that nature. You're just kind of held in a higher esteem, a higher regard mm-hmm. when you win those kind of awards. Now, Gary Sheffield is our Hall of Famer of the day. And
look at us learning so much.
It's a great resume. The teacher is learning something from the pupil.
Yeah.
This is great.
Sure, yeah.
Hats off in the building? Are we allowed at this school?
You can okay. keep your hat on, because I guarantee you've got some gnarly hat hair going on under there.
Do you? Yeah, might be a little bit. Are you a fan of... Do you know anything other than, about Gary Sheffield other than his stance and the wrist rocking? I mean, that's iconic.
I can't say that I was super paying attention to all of baseball when Gary Sheffield was around.
509 homers, 9-time All Star, 5-time Silver Slug Award winner, won a World Series with the Marlins in 1997. Became somewhat of a hired gun even late into his career, where the mm-hmm. Yankees are like, "Hey, we need a guy to drive in runs." Boom, Atlanta, L.A. He was so good. Now, remember, in his prime, again, this will give you an idea of how good he was. In 1997, he signed a 6-year, $61 million deal. So the 6-year is important because mm-hmm. that's long-term.
Yeah.
61, well, that was the 90s. That was the highest contract in Major League Baseball history at the time.
How times have changed. Inflation has gotten out of control.
But that gives you an idea. At the time, if you were the highest paid player, obviously you're pretty darn good.
Yeah.
That gives you somewhat of an idea. He made $168 million. In his career in total. He received 40.6% of votes last cycle. That's actually the largest of any player other than Clemens and Bonds attached to the Balco scandal, the Mitchell report, or any suspension. And, there was a really good point by Skylar Timmons that you showed me in Slack about...
Well, a report or a meme?
Did I say it was a report?
I
had to say tweet, sorry. Yes, it was a full-fledged...
It was a meme!
You know what? In 2023, is there a difference?
You know what? I get all of my news from memes anyway, so I'll allow it. But I just wanted to make sure you caught what you said.
Full exposure. 75% of the time I talk about watching a documentary, it was really a TikTok I saw. So, to be fair, you got me on that one. No, but Skylar, who does an amazing job, points out, using the Drake meme, Coors Field... No thanks. Voters don't want to have anything to do with that. But then if you're tied to PEDs, you're like, okay, yeah, I'm fine with that.
Okay.
And that's a ridiculous double standard.
That is a ridiculous double standard, but it kind of feels like that's the way it is.
It's true.
And it should be the opposite.
Yeah. The name is not on the tip of my tongue. Maybe it was John Heyman. Apologize if I get that wrong. But I think he even said, he should have done more at Coors Field.
That sounds like something John Heyman would say, but again, we're not here to create libel lawsuits.
Right. So allegedly someone said it.
Someone said it. It could have been him.
Han Jamin. So, but that's so subjective of no, I would imagine you'd be able to do this, do that. Yeah, he played first base. And again, he played in an era where, Albert Pujols was, breaking every record in the book. So that's hard to compare him next to that guy. But again, on his own, Todd Helton, incredibly dominant, right? Had a very good career, especially during his prime.
He wanted him to do more at Coors Field. Okay, what can you do at Coors Field, buddy? Get out of here.
True. What are your thoughts in general on players who took PEDs or associated with PEDs? Do you find it should be a case-by-case basis? Are you thinking none of those guys really should be punished, only if you were suspended? Or are you looking at it from a standpoint of, Major League Baseball kind of, turn the other way on, turned a blind eye very much intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
And so if Major League Baseball was fine with it, then, why should we kind of look back retroactively and hold these guys to a different standard than they were actually held to?
Yeah, so that's how I see it. If it was okay with Major League Baseball, then you should be fine. If you were allowed to do it, if you were given basically permission, more so.
Yeah.
I think if you were suspended, if you were punished for PEDs when they started actually enforcing this, I don't think you should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Jay Jaffe in for FanGraphs, he wrote, and this is, I think, the best way to sum it up. Quote, "The PED problem was the result of a complete institutional failure that implicated the commissioner, the owners, the Players Association, and even reporters. Parentheses, don't forget the guy who broke the news about Andro with being in Mark McGuire's locker was initially ostracized within the industry." I think that was Rick Riley. So at that time, that was like, hey, man, that's not cool. If baseball couldn't punish users during that Wild West area, Wild West era, then voters shouldn't apply a retroactive morality.
That is, I think that's a really great point. That's a great way to put it. And I didn't even realize that reporters were, you know, punished in a way because of that.
There was actually, and this is slightly different, and I won't name names, but there was a reporter here in town who was, I think, suspended for the remainder of the season for going into a player's locker.
You can't do that.
To look at, like, hey, what are these pills that you're taking? Yeah, I think that definitely that's goes over the line.
That's different, yeah.
Yeah, Sheffield was associated with the Balco thing, and I know some behind-the-scenes things about Gary Sheffield that you'll just have to take my word about that. I think he was innocent. Like, I think he really didn't know what he was taking.
Yeah.
He said this to Tom Verducci back in 2004 when no player had admitted it at all. He said, yeah, I took this stuff. I didn't know what it was. I wasn't told exactly what it was. Mm-hmm. So I took it. I used it. And then he stopped and then still had a really great career. So I sort of believe that Gary Sheffield didn't really know. He told the grand jury that exact same thing, too, that he didn't necessarily know what he was taking. And he's spoken out about PEDs and said, yeah, players should get tested. So, you know, he said enough of the right things. And again, never was suspended for it. So once baseball said, all right, guys, we got to cut this out. We got to behave a little bit better. Look, there are players in the Hall of Fame that took speed on the reg. There was in clubhouses, my favorite bit, there were two types of coffee, two pots. One that said unleaded and one that said leaded. If it was unleaded, it was just coffee. If it was leaded, it was loaded up with greenies. Like that, the speed, that was it. That was how you played, you know, maybe a day game after a night game, or just, hey, you had a bender last night. You got to get up to play. It's a doubleheader on Sunday.
Yeah, no, this is why guys were, you know, playing like, you know, multiple entire seasons without taking an off day. This is why we had records like that where we're not going to see anymore.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone was totally drugged up.
Yeah. And again, That's illegal behavior, but Major League Baseball didn't mind because they benefited from it. The players benefited from it. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of is what it is. Now, if Gary Sheffield were to get in the Hall of Fame, he would actually be the first player, and you know how I'm interested in this, first player to have ever played in the Little League World Series.
In the Hall of Fame?
Would be in the Hall of Fame, yeah.
Oh, wow.
That would be kind of neat.
What year was he in the Little League World Series?
That. 1980.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so there's a couple questionable guys that are on ballots still. You got Manny Ramirez, who was suspended. Alex Rodriguez, also suspended. Mm-hmm. Omar Vizquel, domestic violence history in his past. And then Carlos Beltran, the sign-stealing situation and everything. And
what a situation that was.
Yeah, so those are all guys that continue to get some support from some voters out there who are probably just looking at their resume or... You know, they're putting dividing lines out there. But, well, it was he probably used it after his heyday, so he was already a pretty much a Hall of Famer at that point. So,
then why'd you do it, man? Why'd you do it?
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. I'm okay with having players associated with PEDs in the Hall of Fame. I think as far as maybe making them first ballot guys or, you know, getting them in within their 10 years, I might not necessarily be okay with or give support to guys who, you know, blatantly used it and were suspended for it after the fact and tried to do some nefarious things. I mean, Ryan Braun is someone who, if the details are correct in my head, allegedly basically tried to get someone fired to cover up the fact that he was taking steroids. Like someone lost their job and say, no, they lied. They did this thing. And he went so far out of his way.
Wow.
I'll say allegedly because just in case I don't have the details right. Mm-hmm. So like that's really bad. But if you did it before there was any kind of suspensions and whatnot, you know, it looks ugly once you get into the details of like, well, how do you do it? Like you don't just go to the store and buy illegal steroids, illegal PEDs. You got to do a couple things and jump through some hurdles. Mm-hmm. But again, Major League Baseball was very much okay with that. So I'm okay with it too, to that degree at least.
Yes.
Yeah, to that degree.
Well said.
And if you disagree with me or you disagree with Susie, tell us to our face tomorrow at 3:30 because we're going to be here, of course, at the DNVR bar for the Todd Helton Hall of Fame announcement watch party. It's very close.
It's really coming together. We've got we're expecting a really great turnout. So yeah. I'm so stoked to get together and just celebrate baseball and hopefully celebrate Todd Helton.
Yeah. Yeah. He's still above 75% of the public ballots. But then once the private ones that we'll find out, again, who they voted for, we might not know who voted for those people. Did you see somebody voted for just Manny Ramirez and Alex Rodriguez and nobody else?
I didn't see that. What a clown.
Kind of a clown, yes.
clown move.
Allegedly
clown
a clown. This is the alleged episode. We can just say whatever we want for the next like half hour, as long as you say allegedly.
Allegedly. You know what I mean? Everything is alleged. Exactly. Tiff, add it to the YouTube description. Allegedly, we did a podcast today.
Not alleged. Again, we're going to be here tomorrow for that watch party. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. If you can't make it, that's okay. Or if you show up late, because we're going to be here. We'll be doing a podcast even after to kind of break down everything with the announcement. So who knows? We might even have some people, you know, jump up on set with us and discuss their favorite memories of Todd Helton and whatnot. So it's going to be the place to be. You know that even we don't have a watch party, you're getting 15% off your tab at the DNVR bar if you are a diehard. Access to the diehards only Discord where we're talking about all kinds of different topics. And having a lot of fun making those connections with people in our community. 20% off all the gear at dnvrlocker.com. 20% off on all of the tailgates and everything that we got going on. It's a lot of fun
so
to be a
fun.
Diehard and to be signed up to the dnvr.com. Four teams. We're down. It's the final four. Mm-hmm. Not the real final four. We can say that now because that's...
It's not copyright.
It's not copyright
it's
by the
not
NFL.
Not copyright.
That's it. The Final Four in the NFL, two conference championship games, and only a few more shots to win big on the playoffs with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Counting down to Super Bowl 57. Woo. New customers can bet just $5 and get 200 in free bets instantly. That doesn't even have to be the team to win. Can be on anything involving the NFL. Boom, you're going to get 200 when you win. If you're not a new customer... All good, because guess what? You can feel the conference championship thrills with those stepped-up same-game parlays. Mm-hmm. Basically, tag a couple things together, and if it ends up coming to fruition, you're going to have an even bigger payout. In fact, that's where I'm going with my DraftKings Sportsbook pick of the week.
Do you have
here.
A leggy bet for us?
Somewhat.
Okay.
Somewhat leggy, and you'll be happy with it, too.
Okay,
I'll say that.
All right.
But download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code DNVR, new customers. All you got to do is bet $5 on any NFL championship round game here this weekend coming up, and you're going to get $200 in free bets if that team wins. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook and only with code DNVR. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Woo. I don't want to just pick a winner this weekend.
Oh,
who's going to the Super Bowl. I want to pick the matchup, and I want to go even beyond that and pick the winner of the Super Bowl. Now that I'm saying this out loud, I'm realizing you aren't going to like what I have to say. Only
oh my
half
gosh.
Life. Only
Tiff,
half
hold me back.
DraftKings Sportsbook pick of the week. Bengals over Eagles, Super Bowl 57.
What?
+600. +600. I like the payout. 6-1, man, on your money.
I respect the reasoning, but I think you're being silly.
You can't I can't
but that
bet
would
against,
be real that would be a really fun Super Bowl.
I can't bet against Joe Cool. Joe Burrow's is a son of a gun.
He is.
He's a son of a gun.
Patrick, you're killing me here. You showing up dressed like this and then you picking the Bengals to win the Super Bowl. You are like trying to get me to fight you.
I have to save all my orange wardrobe for like a couple weeks out down the line.
Yeah, you
post
do.
Super Bowl.
Yeah, but if the Bengals win. I will take it personally.
No, but you don't want me to do that because if the Bengals win, or actually I don't want to do that. You know what? So scrap that. Scrap that all together.
Whatever.
I wear nothing but orange for the next 2 weeks, and then I'm just going to shut down all the orange gear after the Super Bowl because I don't want to wear orange on set with you just in case the Bengals do defeat the Eagles. My DraftKings Sportsbook pick of the week, +600.
I hope you lose money.
I hope Chris Bryant is as healthy as he says he is.
Yeah, we got some Patrick Saunders of the Denver Post out there doing work.
He is.
Last weekend, he found some juicy stuff. But yeah, apparently Chris Bryant has proclaimed himself 100% healthy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good news. I mean, that's a big addition. Obviously, there's been a lot made because Saunders also talked about, you know, GM Bill Schmidt saying, yeah, this is kind of the roster that we're going with. And, you know, other than a couple trades here and there to bolster the depths of the farm system, which was nice. Nolan Jones is a major league piece, of course. There's really only two big league signings and one of them was a re-signing.
Yeah.
So Pierce Johnson was the only guy mm-hmm. that they brought in from outside the organization this offseason.
That's it.
Which, you know, obviously doesn't look great. And if you are outside our media market or even inside, it's very laughable. But it does play to the Rockies' plan. It might not be a great one, but it is a plan of kind of wait and see. I honestly think that's their approach. It's really just wait and see.
It makes sense. But right now, in this moment, the Rockies are the punchline today, Monday, because outside of this market, a lot of the baseball blogs, a lot of the baseball Twitter and Instagram accounts, the TikToks and all of that, they're kind of making fun of us.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can hear a voice in the back of my head going, see, that's what's not fair. Like, the Rockies are always the butt of the joke. No one was joking about the Rockies in 2017 mm-hmm. and 18.
Yeah,
and
even exactly. 19,
when they were falling apart, because they had made many of the right moves. Even when they re-signed and gave all that money to Nolan Arenado, mm-hmm. no one's like, yeah, but are they really going to be able to pay him? No, they should be able to pay him.
We still are.
Yeah, they still are, and then they immediately turned around and they signed Chris Bryant. So it's like the money was there, wasn't necessarily about that. So you're going to be a laughingstock when you make, you know, foolish moves or if you do questionable things. Now, right now, it seems silly to, you know, have four consecutive losing seasons and then have this off season that they've had. But that's to enact a plan that's in place to kind of wait for these young guys to come up. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, you look back a year or two ago and you say, well, you could have kind of started that clock a little bit earlier, mm-hmm. right? You could have traded away. They made one deal ahead of the 2021 trade deadline, and there was an MLB executive who said that was malpractice. And then they followed that up with the 2022 trade deadline and traded no one, the only team in Major League Baseball. So you had two consecutive opportunities to do something to kind of expedite this game plan that you didn't. And that's why we're going to be sitting here almost waiting for, you know, late 2024 for these young guys to start arriving mm-hmm. and then 2025 for them maybe to become contenders again.
I hope the people that are saying that, you know, the people who are putting the Rockies as the butt of the joke, I hope that those takes age so poorly. I just hope that this all does work out the way that we are talking about how it could potentially work out. Sure. Otherwise, we're going to lose our damn minds.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to have a wait and see approach because you can still do things. You can still make transactions in the off season that are more than just the one true free agent mm-hmm. signing that will help you in the future. But you also understand why you do nothing so you don't block players. You don't sign guys to long-term deals and then kind of regret it. So it's like, okay, yeah, you've realized this approach. It's not even rebuilding. That's the thing, because not much has changed.
Yeah.
Right? But even if you say, okay, it kind of is because you're not building. So it is some kind of rebuilding. Like you're looking at the blueprints, right? You didn't tear anything down. You still have the foundation of a wall. And now you're looking at the blueprints. You haven't built up, but you also haven't torn down. And so I think the takes by the folks on the coast is like, you know, you could have done this a lot sooner.
Yeah.
And that's been kind of the discussion for the last 2 years is like, wake up and get a plan. And it took them 2 years to finally get a plan. And that plan is wait two more years. That's frustrating.
Yeah, but that's what we're doing.
Yeah. The plantar fasciitis, you hope, is okay. Remember Albert Pujols when he early on in his deal with the Angels, he missed part of the 2013 season because of his plantar fasciitis.
I actually completely forgot about this.
Yeah, he's kind of the poster boy a little
How
bit.
How quickly we forget.
And I mean, if you see him walking around now, you're like, I think he's got plantar fasciitis of the whole leg.
He's a very stiff walker.
Yeah, it may have traveled through his hips even. Like he's a stiff walker. Yeah, he looks more natural running than walking. Like that's where he's at. But it ended up rearing its head, you know, 3 years later in 2016, and he was still forced to undergo a surgery. So not totally out of the woods yet, but this is the best start I think that you can hope for. So we basically have 3 years of being on plantar fasciitis watch. Super producer Tiffany, can we get a graphic for the 3 years? No, you don't have to do that.
She's like, start. She's like, okay, like I'll work like, on you it got now. It.
I will work on
whatever
it.
You want. Yeah, I mean, I still, the hill I'm going to die on is if Chris Bryant is not wearing supportive shoes, I'm going to lose my freaking mind.
Yeah.
I'm going to be, you know, peering into the outside of his locker, looking at the footwear he's got out.
I wonder if you just wore a walking boot. I'm both feet. Why not? Is that like being overly cautious or is that actually bad? It's probably
bad. That's probably really bad for your feet. He should be wearing shoes with arch support and shoes mm-hmm. with lots of like, you know, space for his toes to spread. And
gotta get some good splay.
Not the slides. Not the freaking shower slides.
No.
Get out of here.
I once thought as a smart person, hey, I'll put a splint on my finger. It was on my wedding ring finger, mm-hmm. and I think I was carrying buckets around, and I must have just sprained it, right? Like the ring jacked up my finger.
Okay.
So I put a little splint on for a couple days for it to heal, because I knew, all right, I sprained it. Then I took it off, and then I was like, ooh, it's still not healed. Let me leave it on. Let me take it off. Ooh, it's still not healed. And then finally, yeah, I had to go to like physical therapist. And
for your
like,
finger?
They're like, why did you put a splint on? Like, who told you to do that? I'm like, well, naturally, it hurt. So I wanted to, you know, stabilize. I'm like, that was stupid. Now we got to like build up the strength back in your finger. It was almost like atrophied. So it felt like it was still sprained, but it basically had atrophied. So walking around in a walking boot on both feet is not being extra cautious. And
no,
safe.
Patrick, the fact that you put a splint on like such a non-injury, like you are like the poster child for overthinking everything.
I used to sprain my fingers all the time when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I just moved back in with my parents at the time. And so I sort of think like there was this, I was like, oh, I know this space. I have a sprained finger. There's my dad. We're having a game of catch. I need to put a little popsicle stick on my finger. And it ended up being the wrong move at the time. I might not have had healthcare at the time. I'm not sure.
Oh my gosh.
These are the decisions that you have to make. But
Patrick, you never cease to amaze me.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'll see what other kind of stories I can remember. Traumatic memories and moments. It's almost traumatic to get rumors about the Rockies, because there was a reporter, MLB insider from the Dominican Republic, Mike Rodriguez, who said, hey, Gary Sanchez, you know, would be a good fit. Allow some pop for the Colorado Rockies. Hmm. And we go, yeah, okay. But Bill Schmidt did just say they're pretty much done adding to this team.
Yeah.
So you go, do you want to trade some offense behind the plate in a catcher like the Kraken, Gary Sanchez,
mm-hmm.
who was someone I said they should acquire 2 years ago? Or do you want, you know, the more of a defensive backup in Brian Servin? Or third option, do you think maybe you really can work with Gary Sanchez enough where even if it's only on a 1 year deal, maybe you can come to agreement on an extension at some point? Elias Diaz becomes your backup, and now Gary Sanchez is the prime guy in Colorado.
I just remembered something. Who is the Rockies' backup catcher now that Connor Joe and Garrett Hampson aren't around? Who is next on the list?
I mentioned that a couple weeks ago. I was like, oh yeah, who's the third guy now? I don't know. That's a really great question. Yeah. I could see maybe Sean Bouchard being up for it. Like, hey, I just want to play. I want to get it out there. Alan Trejo, if he's the utility guy.
Howard so utility.
Yeah, so if you're just basically a super utility guy, you very well, you know, may have to do something.
It might
like
end
that.
Up being me. I was a catcher on my softball team, fourth and fifth grade.
Well, actually, that brings up an interesting point. So in hockey, and Tiffany knows this.
Oh, yes. I do know about this. Exactly. I know I don't appear to be a hockey girl, but.
It's a very niche thing. The e-bug, the emergency backup goalie. This was something that right before the pandemic, Larry Walker was the e-bug, I think, for a game. It might have been in Montreal. It was a Canadiens game. And so you go, all right, if both goalies get hurt, there's just somebody that
it's just some guy
someone who's not on the roster can just come in and just take that spot and fill that hole.
I think that's
we need that for baseball.
I think that's hilarious.
We need that for baseball.
I would love that for baseball. Why not? You know,
I would work so hard all off season for that like one moment. I mean, it wouldn't be fair that it was.
You would be so ready in the press box. You'd be like, wait, this is my moment. You would run right down. You would get your gear on.
Like, where's Patrick? You're like, he's doing squats in the cafe. Like, I would so be ready. And it also wouldn't be fair. Like, the Rockies have bullpen catchers. Like, Aaron Munoz is like, come on, dude. You are not ahead of me. Kyle Cunningham, shout out. Like, you're not
There's
in front of me, man.
There's so many other dudes who...
Like, no, you're kind of already on the roster, so it's got to be somebody else. Or they would just... Maybe they would have to hire, like, Charles Johnson or bring Chris Iannetta into the TV booth or on the radio side, and he's just there just in case.
Yeah.
Like, all right, well, I got it. Sorry, I'd love to call this game some more with you, Jack and Jerry, but I got to go downstairs because both catchers are out of the game.
That would actually be amazing.
That actually happened to the Rockies in the year was, I'm going to say 98, in Los Angeles against the Angels. That was a period of time. So the catchers, Kurt Manwaring and Jeff Reed, they spent, I believe it was 97, the 97 season, just those two guys didn't go on the IL. So it was the same thing as what we saw in 21, where it was Elias Diaz and Dom Nunez catching the whole season. They didn't need a third string at all, or they didn't need to call anybody up. So something happened. One of them came in for the other. I think Reed came in for Kurt Manwaring, and then Reed got taken out at home plate. And so they're like, well, we need somebody to catch. Mm-hmm. So shortstop Nafy Perez came into the game to catch. I think he lasted all of one pitch. He got into the game, and they immediately intentionally walked someone to, like, load the bases, so you had to force out at any base. One pitch, pass ball, game over. That was it. That was it. So we need an E-Buck, an emergency backup catcher.
I love this. That's, E-Buck. You know what? As you know, I root for chaos always, but that, I feel like, just adds another element of chaos to any game.
Yeah. I'm down for it. And again, that's a fun side story. Like, okay, who's the celebrity E-Bug of the day? Mm-hmm. You know, Luke Bryan or Nathaniel Rateliff is in town doing a show. You're like, yeah, let's stick those guys back there. Nathaniel Rateliff has got
you know what?
Body, so
I bet Kyle Freeland could convince Machine Gun Kelly to be his emergency backup catcher.
Oh my! I've scouted him at some of those softball events. Not a baseball player.
But you know what? I think he would just do it for fun.
For the gram?
For you do it for the gram.
I'm the E-Buck for the gram. Maybe. Could be something like that. But that's one of the reasons why you need to go to the ballpark and go to the game, because you never know what's going to happen. No hitter, Machine Gun Kelly as the backup catcher. That's kind of the insanity that ensues with going to a live sporting event or musical event, whatever it is. And if you need to get tickets to one of those events, you got to go to Game Time Tickets.
Oh, it's an ad read.
Of course, yes. It's Game Time Tickets. Look, you can...
Seamless transition.
If you're going somewhere and you're like, well, I don't know if I want to go to this show, I'm kind of on the fence, hang out in the area, go to the bar, whatever it may be. You do that and boom, wait until about an hour before the event. Check out Game Time Tickets, because you can get about 60% off face value. Susie and I have both done it for events. You can also just get tickets now. Like, you can go on now and get Rockies tickets. There's pretty much like only four series that are you can get in the front door for less than $10. Mm-hmm. Most of them, only four are like 10 or more. Mm-hmm. Everything else is under that. So you can just go ahead and do that now.
The deals are already great.
Yeah, it's already baked into the deal. That's the one thing. There's not going to be all those kind of fees that you say, oh, I thought it was this price, but now it's something else. No, Game Time Tickets hooks it up. Join over 15 million folks who've downloaded the Game Time app and scored the best seats to all their favorite events. Hit the link in our description to save. Of course, Will doing a wonderful job in our chat pointing out June 1998. I did have that.
Will, did you just know that off the top of your head, or did you look that up fast? He probably would know that off the top of his head.
Yeah, he would. Will definitely knows those kind of dates. He's a smart dude. He's probably, well, maybe not right now. You know, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. He might have cracked open one of the new Mile High City Golden Ale from Breckbrew.
Yeah.
You could have done. Treat yourself, Will, later today.
Treat
Go on
yourself.
Breckbrew.com. Find out where you can get it from their beer locator, because you've saved the show here with that piece of information. Look, the can is amazing. What's inside is even better. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover. You shouldn't judge a beer by its cover. But if you do, in this instant, you will be 100% correct.
In fact,
you will be surprised, because it's even better than the wrapping.
A beautiful can, and also such a great beer. I can't even stress enough, the night that we had the release party a couple of weeks ago, we ran out of cans because everyone was, they were flying out of the bar. It was amazing.
Do we know, maybe I shouldn't even say this, did people like take a couple like with them empty afterwards to be like, well, I want to like put this up. You know how people save cans and bottles?
They did? Oh,
people
my gosh.
Did. Confirmation.
Well, I was going to say, I don't know how anyone left with any cans of beer, because my friends were going around getting everyone's empties so we could make that tower that went from the floor all the way up
snake.
To the studio.
Yeah, the beer snake. I think that video is over on the
Tower of Terror
channel. Yeah, you can see that. That was fantastic. Yeah, that's cool. I love what they're doing over at Breckbrew. It's a Colorado company made 100% renewable energy. So make sure you check out the new Mile High City Golden Ale. And make sure you check out Jive Hive, JiveHyve. It's a revolutionary dispensary, making it easy for you to explore the benefits of cannabis with privacy and security, all from the comfort of your home. No fighting traffic, no lines, absolutely no one in your business. On a snowy day, you don't have to deal with it because someone is delivering it to you.
I don't want to deal with it.
It's absolutely fantastic. Visit Jive Hive, J-I-V-E-H-Y-V-E, for anything you can imagine, like convenience and prices that are better, because it's not a brick and mortar. They're not paying for that same overhead. It's getting directly to you. Privacy and security. So if you have one of those sensitive jobs or sensitive positions, like a lawyer, doctor, or you just want to avoid coworkers, you can utilize Jive Hive for just that reason. And again, the weather, we're not out of winter yet. Yesterday was so sunny, it was gorgeous, but it's still winter. We're still going to get more snow.
Mm-hmm.
And Jive Hive allows you to work around that in a super, super amazing way. All you got to do is visit jivehive.com, J-I-V-E-H-Y-V-E.com. I hope we get some shirts with their logo on it, because that's another one.
I love their logo.
The wrapping looks so amazing.
I love the B.
It does kind of look like a badass minor league logo.
I thought right? The same thing. It looks like it could be a really good minor league logo.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So if they want to sponsor our softball team, Jive Hive.
Let's do it.
Y'all know where to find us.
Get yours ordered and delivered the same day, or schedule a delivery window, and they'll be there to say hi.
Ha-ha! I get it.
Now serving Monument, Falcon, Peyton, Fountain, Woodland Park, Security, Widefield, Aurora, Greenwood Village. That's Jive Hive, J-I-V-E-H-Y-V-E.com. Susie, do you know where Falcon is located?
Actually, I do not. I need to know because I'm a geography nerd.
It is like southeast of Colorado Springs.
Oh, okay.
I've driven through there before on the way to see family, and I'm like, that's an awesome name. Colorado does have some great city names.
Oh, yeah.
Very good.
We live in such a great state.
Unlike Bryn Mawr. Like, what is that?
Okay, yeah. Relax.
All right, let's get to it. Artifact or artifiction.
We're finally going to play it. Yes.
The game we've been waiting a week to play.
I've actually been waiting forever to play this.
So these are all items that are going to the Hall of Fame or are already there right now. They're in the basement of the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Hall of Fame has a basement. The Alamo does not, as we established last week. Now, the first item... Susie, you got to tell me, is this artifact or artifiction?
Okay.
Is this actually, did this actually get sent to the Hall of Fame? The first pitch comm system used in a game, right? That's how pitchers and catchers communicate when there's a runner on base. Was there one sent to the Hall of Fame? Like, let's say the first one.
I want to say yes, because that's kind of a milestone.
That's right. Game
used. Am I right?
You are right. Brewers, yes. Corbin Burns, and Omar Narvaez, along with Burns' cap from the game, was sent to the Hall of Fame. So that's a new thing that, again, it's not taking over the game in a super major way, but this is the start of history of baseball, and that's with the Hall of Fame and Museum. One for one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Several items to commemorate Rachel Balkovic's managerial debut on April 8th last year for the Tampa Tarpons, including the jersey she wore, first pitch ball from the game. Of course, Rachel Balkovic, the first female manager in minor league baseball history.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, it would. I would be offended if they didn't send stuff from that, from her game. Yeah,
factamundo. All right, Rory Sasaki. You familiar with Rory Sasaki?
Refresh my memory. Okay.
Is Rory Sasaki an author, a Japanese author of a very popular Japanese baseball book, or a player?
He's a player.
Okay, Rory Sasaki does sound like a really good graphic novel artist,
yes,
isn't it? Okay. So Rory Sasaki, 19 strikeout, perfect game, a ball was sent to the Hall of Fame. Player from Japan, though. Player from Japan threw a perfect game. Is there a ball from that perfect game in Cooperstown?
Oh, you know what? I have not been to Cooperstown yet, so I don't know if they have stuff from outside of MLB.
All right, so this was a good one.
I'm going to say no.
It's an artifact. Yes.
Oh, well, you know what? Then I love that. Someone. I love it that. Is great, that's right? Amazing.
I think that's awesome. Yes. They do a great job of making sure of talking about the entire world's game, right? It's the National Baseball Hall of Fame, U.S., but still, you're right.
Okay. Hey, that's why I was confused. Parts? Yeah.
Yeah. So
they
that's
should
super
rename
cool.
it.
Yeah. First perfect game in 20 years in Nippon Professional Baseball. Did that for the Chiba Lotte Marines. And his banner in Japanese. Can you read Japanese? Let's see if I can make out what the banner is. Okay, can you read kanji? So I'm pretty sure that says believe. It says believe. Tiffany, can you read kanji? No.
Patrick, what are we doing here?
What? You don't think I can read kanji?
If you can, I will be... You are full of surprises, so actually maybe you can.
No, I cannot. I did buy, like, learn how to speak Japanese on tape once in, like, my early 20s. I was, like, kind of...
Really?
You know, fascinated with Japan for a period of time. And, the only word I remember is jibiki, which is dictionary. That's it. Because I had a Japanese dictionary. I was like, okay, let me.
Is that dictionary in the Hall of Fame?
That is not. No.
Oh, okay.
But my wife did make it to Japan. My wife has been to Japan.
Oh, nice. So. But you haven't.
I have not. Nope.
Patrick, I feel awful. You've got to make it happen.
All right. Allison Nakin is our next item.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she isn't our next item. But her batting helmet worn when she coached first base for the team on April 12th. There you see her at Oracle Park in a game against the Padres. Was her batting helmet sent to the Hall of Fame?
I hope so. I hope something of hers was sent to the Hall of Fame.
Correct. Yes. Yeah, she ran out there, took the spot. The first base coach, I think, got thrown out of the game. I was like, well, we need somebody to coach first base. Mm-hmm. She's like, I got this.
Yeah.
And she did great.
She did great.
She was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
All right. A piece of bubble gum was sent from all five pitchers who participated in the Mets no-hitter against the Phillies, on April 29th. Party of Five was the cover of the New York Post.
A piece of gum
from all five guys sent to the Hall of Fame.
I hate combined no-hitters. I'm going to say no, because that's... No. No. There's no way.
Why wouldn't the Baseball Hall of Fame want something from that game?
Because it's a combined no-hitter.
It's the second no-hitter in Mets history. Yoan Santana has the only other one. And
but that, you know what? I consider that one to be a true no-hitter. I don't consider a combined no-hitter to be like an accomplishment worthy of putting gum in the Hall of Fame.
All right, you are right on a technicality. Yes. They didn't give a piece of gum, but a ball signed by all five guys did go to the Hall of Fame. A baseball.
It's dumb.
Not gum.
So stupid.
All right. If you think gum is silly, what about an armband from Dusty Baker, a cap and wristband worn by Astros manager Dusty Baker on May 3rd when he recorded his 2000th big league win? Did they get one of his wristbands?
I feel like they did.
You would be correct.
Okay, I'm doing a good job here,
guys.
Very
nice. All right.
For someone who's never been to the Hall of Fame, I feel like I have a good understanding of what's in the Hall of Fame.
These last two are worth double the points.
Oh, right? Okay. All right, I'm ready.
A pair of size 17 and a half cleats worn by the Giants' Sean Jelly during his big league debut on May 6th when the 6'11" Jelly matched John Rauch as the tallest player in big league history.
Oh,
17
my gosh.
And a half cleats. Did they go to the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
No.
Oh, darn. I
made that one up.
I wish they did because that's really fun.
It was a cap that was sent, and I also don't know how big his shoes are, his feet are. He's probably 17 and a half. Can we go back to that picture? How are you, Susie, at that just eyeballing? That's about 17 and a half or there.
That's at least a size 15 right there.
At least, for sure.
For sure.
I'm like 11 and a half, 12. Not bad for a short king, huh?
A short king?
All right. I'm not going to let it go. No. All right. Then finally, Blue Jays, Lourdes Gurriel. If you remember, we actually just talked about this a couple days ago.
Yeah.
That big blowout at Fenway Park. A Minute Maid bottle used by Lourdes Gurriel to make a non-alcoholic drink during the Blue Jays' 28-5 blowout win over the Red Sox at Fenway Park. In that game, Gurriel went 6-for-7 with 5 RBI. Here he is having fun making those mixed drinks because the game kept going on.
He had a little bar going on. Yeah, what else was he going
to
do?
Did one of the Minute Maid bottles get sent to Cooperstown?
I sure hope so.
Unfortunately, not.
Ugh.
No, I made that up.
But that's so good.
But I want it to be.
Oh,
I would have a better museum. You know what? Here we go. We need to get a GoFundMe for me to have a museum, or for us. We'll put it here somewhere.
Yeah,
we'll get it going
because we have so much space here.
That's it.
At the DNVR bar.
The first item, of course, would have to be a pair of slides from Chris Bryant.
I want his Under Armour slides. I want mostly because I don't want him to wear them.
That's true. Yes. We will have to make up our own little fake museum and we'll get a graphic for it. All the items. So well, maybe we'll have to make we'll have to do a draft. What items would you know, we'll talk to Kevin Collins. We'll talk to the PR staff of the Rockies and say, hey, here are the 6 things we need for our little Rockies museum.
Since
they don't want to have one.
Listen, Kevin, we know you're watching, of course, because you're our biggest fan. Please.
We need this Under Armour slides.
We're going to be hitting you up for these.
We need a pair of Crocs and one of the bootleg gibbets.
Mm-hmm. Oh, only the bootleg gibbets.
Well, they're the only ones that exist. Allegedly. Let's stick to the bit. They were purchased fairly from that. We'll get some other items. A shard of glass, of course, from the light that was knocked out in the dugout.
I mean, that's not glass. That's definitely some kind of plastic.
Plexiglass
yeah. material.
We'll get some of that.
Yeah.
Piece of the bulb, a little filament.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a good museum here.
I love what we're building here, Patrick.
We've got a cabinet back there. That's where it's going to be. We'll just kind of open it up. You can see it as you walk by. We've got some work to do.
All right, Kevin. Get us some goodies Hall of Fame.
Let us know what else we need for our wonderful Rockies Museum. Hit us up on Twitter at @DNVR_Rockies. At Patrick D. Lyons is where I'm at on Twitter.
And you can find me at @TheSusieHunter on all platforms.
This has been wondrous. And it's going to get even more wonderful tomorrow with all the Todd Helton Hall of Fame business.
I'm so excited for tomorrow.
It's going to be exciting. But look, you know what they say about momentum, Susie?
Patrick, what do they say?
They say it's only as good as your next show. So we will talk to you tomorrow at 11 a.m. on the DNVR Sports Channel. And then again later after the announcement on the DNVR Sports Channel on YouTube.